Almost there, so close. Hey, folks, thanks for hanging on to the BAMF podcast. I am your host, Mike Lafferty. Today, we're having another episode of Owen Explains It All. Directly beneath me is, Here is Owen. Hey, Owen. Owen Casey Stevens, the original, the OG senior dev of Starfinder. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
All right, cool. I am prepared to play our musical intro, if you are
ready. Hit it.
All right. We are not worthy of that awesome music, but
there it is. Then why do we play it?
We aspire to be worthy of that music.
Fake it till you make it.
Yes. And so today, Owen is going to be talking about Isaac Asimov's Foundations and the various interpretations of it, or at least the most recent interpretation of it. And without further ado, I'll hand the metaphorical microphone over to you, sir.
So my history of the Foundation series goes way, way, way back. When I was growing up in my parents' house, the hallway from the living room to my back bedroom, which was the furthest from everything in the house because I was a loud child, was the library. The hallway was lined with books, and I would literally grab a book off the shelf. Like if I was grounded, for example, which happened fairly often. So being grounded was a good way to get quiet reading time, which may explain why I had so many behavioral problems. And one of the books I picked up was Foundation. And, you know, I'm reading this book when I'm like, I don't know, 10 or 11. And I think people sort of don't understand why Foundation is considered such a great seminal work. In fact, it beat out Lord of the Rings as the most influential trilogy of all times. For the Hugo Awards, for example. So a little context. Foundation was originally released as a series of stories in, I believe, Amazing Magazine. The first four were compiled and put out in a book that was not easy to find in the 50s. And it wasn't until the 60s that it hit a mass paperback so that people other than super geeks and nerds and sci-fi magazine readers could get access to it. And the thing about the original Foundation, and I'm talking here about the novels, is that it's a little hard to say what they're about in other than the broadest scope. The fiction, the science in science fiction is supposed to be about some science that is speculative, something that has not actually occurred yet that causes the story to occur, right? So if you're talking about the Terminator movie, the science in that science fiction are AI killer robots and time travel. Those are the two things that cause the story to be able to occur. And those are both very crunchy mechanical things, right? The robot is actually standing around. The time travel is a big old device that physically moves things through time. In Foundation, the science that makes that science fiction possible is a soft science. It is psychohistory. So instead of it being about faster than light travel or cloning or world-destroying weapons, it's about a population that is so fast, has so many trillions of people, that it is possible to perfectly mathematically predict the long-term course of that culture. Now, there's an Apple TV Foundation series going on right now. The most forgiving review I've seen of it says... people have said that the Foundation series is unfilmable, and this TV show kind of proves that the actual Foundation series is, in fact, unfilmable because they are largely ignoring the importance of that soft science, right? It sets things in motions, but unlike the actual books, and again, spoilers for both the books and the series, they add a lot of action sequences, and they add some societal conflict about cloning and a genetic dynasty and planet destroying starships and nanites, which I don't believe had even been conceived of when the original Foundation was written. And a lot of that stuff is very, very cool, but it is not what Foundation was about. Foundation was about what happens if you can predict the course of a large enough civilization through math. And in the Foundation books, there is, to me, an extremely important analogy, which is sort of the underpinning of why the buy-in should work, which is If you've got a room with a neutral gas and you introduce a cloud of a new gas into that room, you cannot predict where any one molecule of that new gas is going to go. It's impossible. Chaos theory kicks in. It could go anywhere. But we can perfectly predict the expansion of the cloud. The trillions of particles will, as a group, behave in a set, predictable way every time. There will be, without some exterior force working on them, there will be no exceptions. The cloud will expand at a certain speed, at a certain rate, at a certain density. It will take a set amount of time, which you can time down to a fraction of a second to fill your space. You can perfectly predict those because you are not predicting an individual, you are predicting a system. So the science fiction of the Foundation series was, what if there are so many humans spread over so many worlds, if there are trillions of people, that you could predict the course of human history? And what if the course of human history was our current vast empire that is considered eternal and perfect and the apex of human civilization is doomed to collapse within a few hundred or a few thousand years, and there will be a new dark age which will last up to several thousand years? And if you knew that, what could you do about it? What would you do about it? What would that look like? And so the Foundation, the original Foundation book is four short stories that are only connected by the fact that the person that creates Psychohistory, the character Harry Seldon, has set up a foundation, the foundation of the title, whose job is to create an Encyclopedia Galactica, which is supposed to preserve all human knowledge so that this dark age will be shortened. And it turns out that that is only part of the story. The reason that I think Foundation is so foundational, such a linchpin, is that it was one of the very first big popular science fiction stories to not focus on bug-eyed monsters. In fact, I don't think there are sentient or sapient aliens of any kind, at least in the first many books. I don't recall any at all. But to instead say, what if psychology and history were the things that change everything? And that leads to, you know, I don't think you get Dune, for example, if you don't have Foundation. I don't think you get Equilibrium and their gun kata fighting technique that supposedly has statistical information on where the safest place to stand in a gunfight is, so you learn how to stand there automatically. All of those, in my opinion, are influenced and grow out of the idea of this soft science being the super science of the Foundation series. And because of that, it lends itself very well to gamification. The simple way is to say, look, this is setting up a predictive model that is not magic. It is not magic. It's not psychic. It's not card reading. We're not saying there are people with special abilities that can see the future. We're saying that on a certain scale, things are so absolute that if there is not an outside force working on them, and in this case, an outside force includes someone who's done the math, they will result in a particular outcome, but you can prepare for those outcomes. So that is very much like the gun kata of the movie Equilibrium, and you could take that and do something like create a super mathematician or a statistician archetype for the Starfinder role-playing game, which is what we tend to link things to in Owen Explains It All, who has some of the things that maybe are presented as magic or psychic powers or psionics normally in Starfinder, but they aren't magic. And therefore, while they may have more limitations, right, we might well say, okay, you can do something like augury, but only under these limited circumstances. But it's not augury. It's not divination magic. You don't have to use a spell slot for it. It takes time. It takes math. It's a skill check. But you can take all sorts of abilities and apply them to characters in that, rather than being the chosen one, you're the person who did your algebra homework, right? This is the moment where trigonometry will save your life. And that's not an area I think most even science fiction and science fantasy games tend to delve in much. It's like the difference between having a magic sword and being a skilled fencer. In Princess Bride, you know, Inigo Montoya has the best sword, the perfect blade that anyone in the movie has ever seen. But he has also spent his entire life becoming a phenomenal fencer. And we see that that skill is more important than the sword he has, because he runs into someone who is more skilled than him, the man in black, but does not have an in any way exceptional weapon. That concept can be applied to a much broader range of things when you start looking at what are the soft sciences, right? What if you had a form of archaeology or anthropology or xenoanthropology where you could say, okay, we have studied so many trillions of ancient dead cultures that we have formed a logarithm where we can put the information of this ruin in and get a near perfect recreation of what would this society have to have been in order for this to be what they built. And that becomes a way of playing with some of the things that are normally considered not science fiction worthy, right? We're not talking about zap guns and shields and mind reading. We're talking about being able to say, hey, and this is another case where if you want to replace the Starfinder Society, for example, which is the people sending people out on missions in Starfinder, a psychohistory foundation that says, our math done by 10 million super smart monkeys hooked up to 10 million super smart computers has predicted that there will be a disaster over the next 2,000 years that will grow out of this planet. So you need to go there and make sure the following things happen or are taken care of or are settled. Becomes a brand new form of sending people out on adventures. And your goal is not necessarily to fix this one problem, but to be a linchpin in history so that you send them in a whole different direction so that you are the outside force preventing the eventual downfall of civilization. Jacob, your thoughts?
Having never read any of the Foundation books, I am familiar with the concept of psychoscience from various other sources. For example, with my own background in comic books, the villain, the Mad Thinker from the Fantastic Four, he is someone who is able to predict what society is going to do and how society is going to move based on mathematics alone and his study of society and all of that. His flaw is superheroes in that they are so unpredictable because of their ethics, morality. They counter his math because that's not how people are supposed to act. You're not supposed to be just altruistic for the betterment of society. and that sort of thing always messes him up. And I can see characters like this existing both as heroes and villains to a large degree in a lot of different settings. Superheroes, of course, like I just mentioned, and it would work incredibly well with a science fiction setting, as you just said, it would be a really cool idea to have them as a patron for your characters so that they could help motivate where you're going and what your characters are doing to try to prevent disasters. So help, you know, and then if you want to throw in bad guys, the Mothman. Because the Mothman wants to see the bad things happen.
Or for that matter, you can play with your Mothman. The Mothman legend as a cryptid is that he keeps showing up prior to great disasters, and maybe he warns people about them, and maybe he causes them. But if you're taking that idea of Jacob's, that the Mothman is perhaps connected to a mathematical equation, you could always say, okay, Mothmen are time travelers that are trying to gather enough information about disasters that they will be able to predict disasters mathematically. And all the variations on what Mothmen do, are they helping, are they hindering, do they warn people? Are Mothman scientists adding variables to their experiments to try and see whether they can correctly predict what those changes will do to the end result so that they are running scientific studies on disaster. You can look at any of the you know, the soft sciences tend to be things, considered things which it is difficult to establish strictly measurable criteria, right? So we're talking about anthropology, sociology, psychology, political science. Imagine if you had as a villain someone who had a super science of political science and could say, look, I can get anyone elected in this democratic process without cheating by figuring out what positions does he need to take and how does he need to express them for enough people to vote for him. And you can, again, go the psychohistory route. You can say, look, I can't predict how 5 people will vote. I can't predict how 10 people will vote. I can't predict how any one person will vote. But if you have 30 million people voting, I can guarantee through math, if you take these steps and no one is using the math on the other side, you will get 52% of the vote or 75% of the vote or whatever number you need. And that, again, becomes a tool of science fiction as a way to play with other possibilities. And I think it's really ripe for adventure writing. I think it's a great thing for a GM to introduce as something that is driving forces on the outside, especially if, I mean, if you're the sort of person that just wants to say, okay, here's a culture that built teleport patterns that teleport people randomly to other places in the galaxy. And you're like, why did they do that? It doesn't make any sense. And you say, well, this society was driven by this psychohistory math that said, if you do not introduce randomized travel, there will eventually be this disaster. So that the goal is not, we don't care who goes, we don't care where they go, we care that a certain amount of randomness is being thrown in. Or you could have cultures, you could have an entire culture who certain important decisions are selected randomly so that their actions can't be predicted. Our vast military machine is up against the thinking army of androids who can predict every tactic we will possibly think of. And as a result, before every month, we roll randomly. Okay, what percentage of our tactics are going to be random? 32. Okay, so this month, 32% of our military tactics will be entirely at random because that's the only way to prevent them from being prepared. And then you get the situation where if the player characters are mercenaries or part of a squad, you can say, hey, we need you all to go protect this planet of little fuzzy duck bunny hybrid creatures. Why? We have no idea. It's entirely random. We're literally doing this so that what we're doing cannot be predicted. So there's no point in you trying to make sense out of it. The whole point is there's no sense to it. And it gives the GM a tool to be able to throw people wherever they want. And I will play with both some of the tools as a GM and some of the things you can do in the Starfinder role-playing game in the linked blog for this, which will be up on Wednesday the 10th. So 2 days from now, it'll be up at owenkcstevens.com. And I'll look at some, there's some cool nanite stuff in the Foundation television series. I don't dislike the series. I'm enjoying it quite a bit, but it is, I do not believe I'm overstating things when I say that it is closer to Star Wars than it is to Foundation. And I don't care that they have added a few elements like a genetic dynasty. I think that's cool. It doesn't contradict anything in the original. I don't care that they've played with the backgrounds and genders and exact roles and names and spellings of some people. It's that the entire point of Foundation was to not be a zap boom space battle epic. It is an epic of how people are impacting a future history that has a span of tens or hundreds of thousands of years, and what steps are being taken to gently push for a preferred result that can't be done immediately, right? Psychohistory does not allow them to say, hey, if we do the following things, there's no collapse. The whole point is that the collapse is inevitable. It cannot be stopped, but we can shorten the time of darkness beyond that by taking a really long view of what we need to do. And I think there's just a ton of gamifiable concepts and ideas, both in a gritty game mechanical sense and in a adding any super science, soft science to your campaign, even if it is a tool in the hands of NPCs or weird foreign empires and different civilizations. just adds a note to things. And of course, incorrect soft sciences can do the same thing. In Starship Troopers, the novel by Heinlein, there's a little kind of throwaway note that most people don't pick up on early in the book about being able to mathematically prove ethical and moral behavior. And the idea in the novel is that the science of ethics, the study of ethics and morality, have reached a point where absolute correct solutions can be given. There's no question. There's no decision making. We know from mathematical proof that this is more ethical than that. Now, since we don't have that in the real world, there's no way to know what that would look like. But it's easy to imagine a more, say, Verhoeven movie version of Starship Troopers universe where someone has claimed to be able to perfectly predict ethical decisions through math. And so you have a bad guy empire that the vast majority of people working on it think they're the good guys because they've been told, no, we've done the math. It turns out conquering this planet does the most good for the most people. So we have proven that end justifies this means, which is always a dangerous proposition, but it can be a interesting story element to play with to drive the behavior of various, not even antagonists necessarily, but antagonists and allies and just weird cultures you run into. It's a whole realm of things you can play with that most science fiction and science fantasy settings only lean towards, things like religion and the Force and martial arts techniques. And I think there's a whole realm of stuff beyond that that you can get interesting and engaging results if you play with.
It would also be an interesting factor if there were people who had the psychoscience going up against people who didn't.
Yeah.
And that is their ultimate weapon. We know what your armies are going to do because we have this highly advanced psychoscience that you don't understand yet. And I can really see that as a potential leaning point and major factor for any series.
And it can lead to a lot of really interesting lose the battle, win the war things, right? You can have cases where, hey, they have this fortress. The fortress controls this important place. We attack it. We expect them to defend it with everything they've got. Instead, they barely defend it. We take it, and we think we've won. And then it turns out that they predicted with psychohistory or psychotactics or whatever that if we successfully conquered this, there would be sufficient disagreement amongst our alliance on who controls it, that we will tear ourselves apart and getting into a shooting civil war, so that by losing that battle, the enemy forces can win the war by letting us take that asset, and then we will fight amongst ourselves inevitably to a degree that ruins things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Robert N. Emerson writes, wasn't the proven ethics part of the propaganda internal to the plot of Starship Troopers showing a quasi-positive fascist humanity? It wasn't that ethics became hard science, but the society had bought into it. There is nothing in the book that suggests that it is a buy-in instead of the truth. The book very much proposes that this is actually the case. So you would have to be introducing an unreliable narrator who is not in any other way shown to be unreliable. But there are a lot of people who consider it a very jingoistic pro-war novel. I don't think that's what Heinlein had in mind. He served in the military. And there are a lot of little tiny things he put in that book that, if expanded upon, might well describe a different world, right? I mean, the core political suggestion in Starship Troopers is that you don't get to help decide what the laws of society are unless you are willing to take risk to support and defend that society. And the easy way to do that, obviously, is to join the military. There are also some very one-off notes that you could possibly end up, all right, I'm going to work in a very dangerous asteroid mine for resources that we need, or I am going to volunteer my time to be a doctor on a plague world, and that is putting myself at risk for the good of society, so I would still get a vote. And that I have already gone into more depth in that idea than the book does. But even then, right, there are hints of that in our world. There are programs where, okay, if you got federal student loans in America, and you spend 10 years after that working for certain kinds of low-pay, high-risk, volunteer-type jobs, that your loans can be forgiven. Or you might, you know, get, instead of getting a loan, you had your employment paid for, or for that matter, the GI Bill, right? That your education is paid for because you took these other steps. And that's above and beyond payment. That's saying these are privileged positions that we are giving to people who are doing things we think society needs. In the real world, that is way less radical than the Starship Troopers idea of you cannot vote unless you have been a soldier. Cyrano Johnson says the Imperial cloning thing in the Foundation series is an amazing approach for portraying decline and tying it to human motives, by the way, just popping in midway in the stream there. Yeah, I like the Imperial cloning idea. I think you... I feel called out, Owen. 3 more years left on my PSLF. Yeah, but it's just an example of how societies tend to attempt to encourage people to take those actions that benefit society. And Starship Troopers is one extreme example of that. But again, if you're playing with soft sciences and psychohistory and the idea of, you know, maybe it turns out that if you learn psychohistory, you can't enjoy fiction anymore, that literally your brain is rewired. The idea of language and concepts rewiring your brain is another one that's been played with in science fiction a lot. There's a zombie movie called Pontypool, which I adore because it has a bizarre language is a virus underpinning concept to it. And in many ways, we can prove that language is a virus, right? If I say giraffe in a pimp hat, I put an idea in your head that you will never have had before. So I have infected your brain with a foreign concept that would not have happened on its own just with words. And that is another, you know, you can take linguistics as another science that you could play with. And again, you get to things like Dune, where people have the voice and the voice allows you to make statements. And we did a Owen Explains It All on Dune, and I did the voice and some things like it already on my blog. But I think it's really interesting, and you don't want to overdo it, but just look at areas of science and study and disciplines and expertise and ask yourself if this was as super advanced and powerful as engineering would have to be in order for us to do FTL, or that metallurgy would have to be in order for us to create a space elevator, for example. What would that look like, and how can that impact my stories, and what new opportunity for fun options does that give me? And I think that is where the original Foundation deserves its place. Someone said Pontypool changes everything. One of the most terrifying novels ever. It's a movie. It's fascinating. And I encourage people that are okay with seeing people get their guts torn out to read it or watch it for the philosophy of it, which I know is a lot like saying read this magazine for the articles and ignore the girly pictures. But there really is some thinking in there that has altered how I view some things like language and transmission of information.
I was just thinking of... who would be the perfect people to have psychoscience access in a Starfinder game. And that would be the Elder Things, the Cthulhu alien race, because they're already a super math-obsessed species. They're able to fly up into space, point themselves in a direction using mathematics, and then start flying that direction, and then go to sleep for, you know, thousands, maybe even millions of years, and arrive to their destination planet.
Yeah, math's another place where you can have a lot of fun with doing things. Like, I've got notes on my computer for a species that does base 1000 math instead of base 10, because their brains are capable of keeping 10,000 separate icons easily in their memory so that one digit can be a number from 0 to 10,000. And then two digits, obviously, is 10,000 times 10,000. And what that might let you do in terms of expressing unbelievably huge numbers in a very small space without having to go to, like, scientific notation.
Yeah.
But I think we have, in fact, both ground through all of the explainable, gamifiable stuff in Foundation, both forms currently available, and eaten up our half hour. So I appreciate people. As I said, I wrote a student paper on the Foundation series, and I have always considered it to be an important and seminal benchmark moment in science fiction, while at the same time not thinking that it is the best written or most interesting thing I've ever read. It just had a strong impact on what people thought science fiction was or could be. And I think that there are a lot of, in my opinion, at least more interesting things that have been done with that concept in the decades since then.
Asimov kind of occupies this interesting space where he has some really compelling ideas in his novels, but they aren't always the most compelling reading.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, when we originally ended up the show, we pitched it as a fun, fast, furious 30 minutes, and we have hit that time. So, thanks to all of our commenters for chiming in. Robert, Cyrano, nice talking to you guys. Thanks to everyone else out there watching us on YouTube or Facebook. And we will catch you next time on Owen Explains It All.
After me.